Offside presents a World Cup group preview with Andrew Gunling and JJ Devaney.
Oh, yes! Caught offside from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Andrew Gunling, JJ Devaney, what's going on, my friend?
We're at the real stuff now. Any group that has Brazil in it.
Yep, it's time. It's time to get serious, everybody. Jokes and silliness is in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, you're not going to have fun with this podcast.
No. Group E. This is a deep group. Like, I don't know necessarily who. Like, a lot of groups I'll look at, and I'll be able to kind of quickly identify a weak link. Obviously, it's not Brazil. Costa Rica, we know what they did in 2014. Serbia and Switzerland. Switzerland quietly, like, I don't do much with the FIFA world rankings, but I think people would be surprised to see how highly they are ranked. This is a good group, man.
Yeah. There's no you know, outstandingly bad team in it where Andrew and JJ do periods of long, it's not going to go well. This is a really good group, and it's got the cream of the crop in it. The World Cup revolves around Brazil.
Yep, and let's get it. Let's get it right away with Brazil. And we come in, as we've been doing all throughout our World Cup group previews, with the number one song in Brazil right now, according to top40charts.com. It's called Cerveja de Garrafa, Attitude 67.
That's the name of the band?
You know what? I'm going to be honest.
You don't know.
I wrote them both down. One of those things is the name of the band. The other one's the name of the song.
Imagine.
No, I think Attitude 67 is the name of the band.
This is the new single by Attitude 67.
I'll tell you this right now, and I know you've been very hard on every single song that we've played because you think you're better than everyone. But this song I genuinely liked. Here's a little snippet of it. You're laughing over there. You're telling me right now you're in a bar down
they
the Jersey
sound
Shore,
like they're in a bar.
And that song comes on and you're not like immediately having fun.
I will.
I mean, are you serious?
Yeah.
What happened to you that's caused you to be this way?
Terrible.
That was terrible?
Terrible.
What's on your iPod right now that you're listening to that's like so much more highbrow and better than everyone?
I go to Spotify, last song played. Oh. All right, okay. PM Dawn, Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
Who are you? Who do you think you are? That was a good song. That was fun. We're having fun now. I demand that we have fun now.
I love the way fun in the Gundling house is forced. Forced fun.
Let's get it. This will be fun, though, because now we're talking Brazil. I mean, World Cup in Brazil, it's like peanut butter and jelly. That's a cliche. Key players, look, I'm not even going to try to be cute. All right, I'm going straight for it, and I'm going straight to Neymar. I can't help but look at him and just see what he's meant to Brazil in the recent 2014, how good, you know, looking strong, and then he breaks his back against Colombia, and then 7-1 happens. Then in 2016, he led Brazil to the first ever Olympic gold medal. You saw what it meant to him. Qualifying, he led CONMEBOL in goals with 14 goals. Here's the thing. He's one of those guys where I don't know if it's his flair, this perception of selfish, you know, modern athlete cares more about, you know, headlines than substance. I don't know if it's those things that kind of poison our mind on him, but here's the thing. He might be the third best player in the world.
Okay.
And sometimes all that other stuff causes us to forget that. And I feel like every once in a while we got to reel ourselves back in and remember how great this guy actually is.
Yeah. I think you're drawing a lot. You remind me of a guy who's trying to solve a mystery or a, what would we call it?
Like a Hardy Boy?
A conspiracy at the top of government. And you've put up all these pictures on the wall and put string between each one.
All leading to Neymar?
Yeah. This Brazilian team aren't as dependent on Neymar as the 2014 team were. And I think Neymar is a fantastic player. He may very well be the third best player in the world. 53 goals, 83 appearances for Brazil. But this is a structured, organized team in the mold of the great Brazilian teams of the past. with or without Neymar. Okay, so they are a good team. They with him, they are a good team without him. This is not a one-man show. Can I just quote from you from one of the doyens of South American football? An former Argentinian coach, Cesar Luis Menotti. He's talking about what Chiche, the manager, has done to this Brazilian team. And this is some praise. He has brought the defensive line 20 metres higher and brought the team together. It's like the Brazil of 1970. Now, if that isn't a return to values of what we expect Samba soccer to be, I don't know what it is. And that cannot happen with just one focal point. So you need to calm down just a little bit and appreciate this Brazil from back to front and not just focus in the social media hackish way that you are on Neymar.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize we were allowed to cheat on these group previews. I'm asking you who the key player is. At least I had an answer.
I have Gabriel Jesus and I have Paulinho, who I think are very important too. But you're not wrong to go with Neymar. I'm just trying to do the hipster thing and not choose Neymar.
He turned 26 this past February. At the time of his 26th birthday, as you mentioned, he has 53 goals for his country. When Messi turned 26, he had 35 goals for Argentina.
Oh, we're doing this now,
are we? Ronaldo
turned
26, he had 25 goals.
They also played in different teams, but that's fine.
I'm just saying, don't diminish what he has achieved.
No, I'm not. And I'm saying, don't diminish the group ethic.
Look,
I'm sorry,
did I sit here and say that Brazil is a one-man show? I mean, have you ever put words in my mouth so blatantly as you just did? I said he's the key player. He's the best player on the team. You yourself just said he might be the third best player in the world.
Yeah, fine.
All right, so what are we arguing about? Yeah. We both agree. What's the matter with you? You want to fight? Because I'll go right now. I'll take my shirt off and we'll fight.
Please don't.
That's what people do when they fight. I saw it once at a bar. Two guys, they got into it, immediately took their shirts off. So I'm ready.
Can you shave your chest at least?
No.
Be weird.
I'm going Neymar. You don't have an answer. You forfeit the question, but somehow that makes you smarter than me and better than me. So,
by the way, he came back against Croatia at Anfield at the weekend.
Scored a beautiful goal.
Was a very good goal.
Yeah.
And Chiche said he didn't expect as much from the returning hero of yours. So that's something.
I don't know. For them to go on a run, I mean, look.
Nothing needs to happen to Brazil.
But that's what I said. The only thing that needs to happen, what submarine them, look, they might have lost to Germany 4 years ago anyway. But obviously the injury to Neymar accelerated their downfall. So we're looking at them right now as potentially being the favorite in this tournament. Just, I don't know how, you can't do anything about this, but stay healthy. If they just remain healthy, then I expect them. I don't want to tip my hand yet. We'll do a special podcast next week of kind of like a general World Cup preview. But if we're going under the assumption that they're healthy, then I'm thinking some things about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, you should.
But now, conversely, though, let's force an answer to the other question that we've been asking, and that is what could be their undoing.
I don't think we necessarily have to force it now. When a player of the stature of Neymar returns to a team, there's a danger that he becomes almost deferred to. He becomes a focal point and that disrupts the balance a little bit. So there's a danger that he may try too much to prove he's up to speed and that might upset the general balance of the team. Despite his success as a talismanic figure, you look at some of the names that are around this side and they can be just fine without him. So there's a danger that he is such a big figure, it can upset things. I don't really think that's the major issue. I think Marcelo at fullback, if you're looking for a weakness, in potential weakness, it's Marcelo doing one of his famous things where he goes up the field and leaves a massive gap behind him. Because, like I keep saying, he's at that era where he's playing with house money. He is really good going forward, not so good defending. And I guess who starts on the right side of that defence? Who plugs in there? Is it Danilo? Well, he certainly started against Croatia in that game at Anfield. Is he going to be in there in the absence of Dani Alves? I don't know.
I feel bad, man, because Marcelo, he might be the best fullback in the world, but he's what you wrote down as a potential undoing, and I did too.
Yeah, because this team is very, very strong. And say me and you were to go with kind of an old chestnut one that regularly comes up as well. I don't really fancy the centre halves for Brazil, you know. Well, they've got potentially Casemiro sat in front of them.
Yeah.
They've got that kind of cover. I don't know. I just feel like many games in a short period of time, we expect Brazil to go deep. A aging, less inclined to defend Marcelo is not an unreasonable suggestion at a weak point if right. This team has one.
Because the reason being, how are most teams going to play when they go up against Brazil? A lot of teams are going to probably sit back and try to bite them on the counterattack. So if that's what they're doing and Marcelo's coming upfield, he's leaving space in behind him. So if a team can play a long ball into that space, now, you know, who knows, maybe you got a 2-on-1. I don't know. So again, I'm kind of forcing something here just to have an answer to the question. Yeah, I love this team.
But we're in the same position we get into with the Spains, the Germanys of this world. When we think a team is very, very good, you kind of do feel like you're forcing an answer to this question.
Now, I will say this. What did I say before about what needs to happen for them to go on a run, just stay healthy? Well, already they've been slightly hurt by that. We're talking about their fullbacks. Dani Alves is going to miss this World Cup due to a knee injury.
Considering his age and his...
You're right.
May not be a massive blow.
We don't know what his role would have been even if he had been on the team. But if it's a position that we're already not sure of and a guy who is, you know, tried and true isn't going to be there, it's worth mentioning. What about their X factor?
So this comes directly from their last game. Neymar's return. This is what happened in the second half. The 45 minutes that Neymar played. Please, bear with me. Neymar came on for Fernandinho at halftime, right? He went onto the left side. Willian went onto the right. Felipe Coutinho went into a central midfield role with Paulinho, and Casemiro sat back as the holding midfielder. Gabriel Jesus was up front. That just seems to me that Chiche tipping his hand slightly as to what is going to start against in the opening game. Uh-huh. And that to me is frighteningly good. And the second thing is, as an X factor, is the manager himself. Like, his ability to reverse the malaise of Dunga and the last World Cup under Scolari and return to the Brazil we can all identify, I think that's massive for this team throughout a tournament. That formation for me, though, that is...
I know, I like it.
That's not even getting Firmino into the team, who's had a wonderful season.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
One of the names you mentioned there is a guy that I'll be looking at, Willian. I think he's a stud.
Yeah.
Great creator, good finisher, fast. But where is he right now, mentally, physically? He started just two of Chelsea's final seven matches in all competitions. Started roughly half of Chelsea's games this season, which for him doesn't feel like enough. And yet, this speaks to his quality and what guys think of him. Even with that, he started roughly half of their games. He was still named as Chelsea's Players' Player of the Season. Second time in the last three seasons that he's taken home that award. So maybe Antonio Conte had no time for him, but it shows his teammates all think pretty highly of him. I don't know that it's nailed on that he'll start for Brazil. Maybe, like you just said, it could come down to what Philippe Coutinho's role will be, if they want him out playing outside or if they want him playing centrally. But if he's on... If you put Willian on the right, like you just mentioned, Coutinho's in the middle, which is what I would do with him. What's your starting 11? Let's talk about that. Did you just pretty much say? You going Alisson or Ederson in net?
I think I'd go with Alisson, probably.
That's what I have as well.
Danilo, Thiago Silva, Miranda, Marcelo, mm-hmm. Casemiro.
By himself?
Mm.
I put Paulinho next to him, and then I've got...
So you're 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, with Willian, Coutinho, and Neymar, and then Gabriel Jesus.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I also had a formula after the Croatia game where I kind of shoehorned Bobby Firmino in.
Because you have to, because you're wearing Liverpool underpants and you're afraid of what Texas Reds will say when he hears this.
You got this whole conspiracy worked out in your head. The world is against me, including people I met on social media.
I think Texas Reds might actually be one of your burner accounts that you just used to prod me.
No, and he's very kind to you. I wouldn't mind. There's actual accounts out there that really want to do bad things to you.
Yeah, they've all been muted.
I'll tell you, my inability to be sure of how this team is going to line up is probably a testament to their strength. And God, I look back to the qualification game where they ripped Argentina apart, and that just whetted the appetite for this World Cup. And they romped. Look, they romped through qualification. Under Chiche, they won 10 games, drew 2, scored 30 goals, and they conceded just 3. Ooh.
Yeah.
Could they be on for the 6th World Cup? I wonder.
I do as well. Let's see. We move now from Brazil to Costa Rica. And I had to revert to the Shazam chart, which I've been told is just a horrible place to go to find out.
Yeah, but we're doing it.
But it was not easy. This is Mr. Vegas with So High. So there's that.
I mean, maybe the songs get better, but he sounds like a guy who's walking down the stairs with a synth and drops the synth, and that's the noise it made.
You didn't like the beat?
It was all right. You know what? I might actually Shazam that one myself.
So that one you like?
Yeah, it's a little...
Like, finally, we get one that I don't really think much of, and that's the one you like.
Why do I feel the earlier groups were better?
That first one we played by Brazil, I'll die on that hill. All right? That was a good song. Let's see. Costa Rica now coming off an incredibly successful World Cup 4 years ago. Quarterfinal, lost on penalties.
Yeah, and they've come back with almost exactly the same team.
Yeah, imagine that. Let's see, I'm looking at Keylor Navas. I mean, look, when you're Real Madrid's number one and you're playing for a relatively smaller nation like Costa Rica, all eyes are on you, my friend.
Yeah, I've mentioned Brian Ruiz because he's such a talismanic creative force for them. Orena. And Celso Borges, who I did a little bit of a research on, of Deportivo La Coruña. He's a strangely talented man. Speaks 4 languages and plays in a metal band. And if you go onto YouTube and put in his name, he is there in like somebody's living room doing a cover of Toxicity by System of a Down, who are just a great band. And he nails it. He's really, really good.
Huh.
Yeah. So he's creative on and off the field.
You should have told me. I would have gladly replaced that song.
Yeah, why didn't we do that?
Mr. Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, well, Celso Borges, look it up. Very good.
Yeah. You mentioned Marco Arena. I think I'm just still scarred.
Oh, he's
by the way,
he just tore
apart the U.S.
He is a brilliant player. I think he's one of the more underrated players in MLS. I know.
Well, he's been dealing with an injury.
Yeah, a facial injury, right? Yeah. But I think he has something like 5 or 7 assists already this season. He's just running in behind, the intelligent runs he makes, his skill. That day in New Jersey, Andrew, will live with you long in the memory.
Certainly will.
Can I say it? As good as I thought they were at the last World Cup, teams can go on runs. I've seen it with my own country. But that day in Red Bull Arena, I really took them serious.
Oh, yeah, I would kind of would hope that you were before that day.
Well,
I
mean, the 4-0 was so shambolic.
But it happened on the heels of a great World Cup performance.
I know. Well, what do you want me to say?
I want to say that I was already taking them seriously.
No.
Not I had to wait for
no,
that.
No, I thought that was the perfect away performance that day in New Jersey, despite everything that happened.
I mean, going off of this, in looking what they need to do to go on a run, we know as well as anyone just how damn frustrating they can be to play against. I mean, they're pretty much the only team in the world that will proudly march out that 5 in the back.
Love it.
Yeah.
The minute they lose the ball, they fall into this 5 across the back, and it's just like a wall.
Johnny Acosta, Kendall Waston, Christian Gamboa. I mean, this is a tough... Those three kind of patrolling the center of that back
three
five is really tough.
3 center halves with 2 fullbacks who know, or wide players, whatever you want to call them, who know the minute they lose the ball, we're falling into that 5. And it's a 5-4-1,
yeah,
and it's tough.
I mean, with those 5, and like I mentioned, Keylor Navas, they're never going to be easy to break down, as the U.S. found out, unable to score a goal against them in 2 hex matchups. They're tough. They're not an easy out.
No. And now, imagine they beat Serbia in their first game, though. They're on a run. You can safely say that.
Yes.
Because I would find, if they can topple Serbia, then they can definitely topple Switzerland. That would be my view.
Yeah, my worry for them, I guess, the opposite of what we're talking about would be goal scoring. You mentioned Urania coming off an injury. Joel Campbell also coming off an injury. So I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of a stretch, but you never quite know exactly what kind of form these guys will be in.
I kind of say their undoing is they're old with miles on the clock. Like that forward line is in its 30s, largely speaking. And now that can read as experience, but it can also just read as old. And also Ruiz and Campbell have had like disrupted seasons, one for injury, one just hasn't been getting his game. And that's not really what you want. But if I'm going to be positive about it, they'll come fresh into the tournament.
4 years ago when we were doing this, we barely knew one another. We were still connecting. One of the first things that I feel like we really connected over was Brian Ruiz as our first shining example of a country over club man.
Yeah.
Like, he remember at that time, was he still with Fulham?
I think he was at Fulham.
And we were just like, what's he doing? He's like, but nothing. And then all of a sudden he puts on the Costa Rican jersey and he's, you know, he's a god.
But the thing about it is you could see flashes of him for Fulham. I think it was difficult as well. I'm not sure he was in a team right then that exactly played to his strengths. But yeah, he was fabulous.
Yeah. For their X factor, mine's kind of broad. I went with continuity.
Oh my God, that's what I went. I literally wrote down the word continuity.
Really? Ugh. Did you also? I'm reading now from Yahoo Sports. Do you also have this?
No.
Okay. This is from Yahoo. Quoting the article here, this is basically the same team that reached the quarterfinals in 2014. As many as 9 players from the 11 that fell to the Netherlands and Brazil could start the opener in Russia. At least 7 definitely will, which is insane. No other team will have that little turnover. No team, therefore, will have this much continuity.
I wrote down that they're structurally and personnel-wise perfectly well-drilled. And you see, people look at that and they think, well, they haven't evolved. They haven't got... That's not international football. Yeah. You've got to be able to plug your best players in at short notice. And with the limited resources that they have, they've made the most of it. The concern for me would be that it's not simply that the system doesn't work or that the players aren't good enough. It's just fatigue and they have too many miles on the clock.
It's a team that won a group that included England, Italy, and Uruguay.
Yeah.
I mean, they like the moment is not going to be too big for any of these guys.
No. One slight concern coming out of qualifying, and let's be honest, it's one of the more forgiving qualification. I know. It's hard for you.
Don't do that.
Were you just starting to forget about the U.S. not qualifying for the World Cup? Well, it's time for another edition of Andrew Gundling Abruptly Brings Us Down.
Wasn't forgiving for everyone. How dare you use that word in this time of pain?
They only won 4 of their last 10 matches in the final round of qualifying. That struck me.
Yeah, don't we know it?
Yeah. And one of them was... Yeah. But anyway, God. Look, I like them.
Yeah.
They've just found themselves in an absolute dinger of a group.
Definitely. Very true. We move on now from Costa Rica to the Serbs. A semisila da ispadnem fe I da prvo čuješ ovo od mene. You're dancing in here. I can't tell if it's like mocking it or if you're actually enjoying it.
Kind of both, a bit okay. Of both. I would imagine the music video for this is a beautiful blonde Serbian woman on the back of a horse riding across the hills in a kind of a promo video for a Eurovision song.
Only one of the things you said they're describing it was true. And I'll tell you what, it was very true. She's beautiful.
Oh, is she?
Wasn't blonde, wasn't on a horse. She was in a studio. But that was Milica Pavlovic.
Ah.
Name of the song is Mogla Sam. And yeah, she was very, very pretty. Yeah, good song. Enjoyed it. Let's see.
It's fine.
There we go. Key players, you go first here.
Nemanja Matic.
Yeah, yeah.
Collar off, and the big unit up front, Mitrovic. See, I've special knowledge of them in our group. They got better as the group went on, and they won that group. That was a really tough group with Ireland and Wales in it. These guys should not be underestimated, and they've got a ton of talent, which we will get to as well. But like Mitrovic, Dusan Tadic, Nemanja Matic.
Yeah, Matic is the one that I kind of honed in on. I mean, he's basically the player whose absence Chelsea fans blamed for their season, and he's the player that Jose Mourinho essentially couldn't live without. Now he's just got to replicate that form for Serbia, and I believe that he is more than capable of doing that. Let's see, for them to go on a run, I mean, what are we looking at here? I mean, for me, it's part of what I just mentioned, and some of what you just mentioned too. I think they have a really, really strong midfield.
They really do, and I also think that they're going to look at their opening game and think we'll be slight favourites going into this one. What's interesting to me, I've pulled up the formation they played against Ireland at Lansdowne Road when they beat us 1-0, and they were, in terms of technique, look, they're not the most exciting team in the world, but in terms of technique and a system, they were very, very good. They played a 3-4-2-1 with Kolarov as that wide player. Now, he incidentally scored one of the goals. And they were deadly, absolutely deadly. And with Mitrovic as the focal point and the creativity in behind, like I mentioned, Tadic. I don't want to mention the other player I'm going to mention because he is down as my X factor. But they've got, in an a fairly tough group, they've got a nice start. And by the second game, they're going to look at that and look, 2 wins. 6 points before we play Brazil, and we're in really good shape.
I guess that could be the hope, is that maybe...
Have your work done before you play Brazil.
Right, like hopefully that game won't be quite as critical. Well, look, it's a deep group, so it's hard. It's impossible to say that now. But yeah, I look at the midfield, like you say, Matic, Tadic, Sergei Milinkovic-Savic.
Ah, you said
it. Lazio. Luka
Milivojevic.
Yeah, from Crystal Palace.
Yeah. The penalty taker.
Well, not all the time.
Not all the time.
So it's a pretty strong group there. I mean, in terms of an undoing, though.
Well, they sacked their manager, who got them through qualification, 3 weeks after qualification, and installed a novice in Mladen Krstic. So they might, you know, the Serbian FA might look at themselves and say, that's not best practice. Andrew, this is his first senior management job. His first competitive game will be in a World Cup. That is huge pressure for an inexperienced manager. That might be their undoing.
Totally fair. Something that I've been looking at here, I guess this is kind of an X factor. Serbia, I got to believe, I think they're coming into this with a bit of a winning mindset. And let me explain. Like you mentioned, just in qualification through a very difficult group. But you know, I know one tournament doesn't necessarily have much bearing to the next, especially when you're talking about youth tournaments. But Serbia won the under-19 European Championships in 13. Then they followed that up by winning the under-20 World Cup in 2015. Now we'll discover if the senior team is able to bear the same fruits of success that the youth teams did. But you know, are these guys who were parts of those youth teams who have now moved up and are part of the senior team, are they ready to make that same kind of mark on a big stage? As many as 7 players from that under-20 side that won that World Cup will be on this team, including the aforementioned Milinkovic-Savic. Does winning breed more winning? We'll find out. By the way, the manager of that under-20 side that won for Serbia, Veljko Panovic of the Chicago Fire.
Ah.
Yeah, how about that? What are you looking at?
As their X factor?
Yeah.
Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, 14 goals, 9 assists for Lazio this season. He's unusual in the sense that he's a 6'4" centre midfielder, but he's got bags of skill. He's got an unbelievable shot on him, and he's going to dominate the middle of the park. And the rumour was...
Him and Matic in the middle, I mean, yeah. That's a big...
But he didn't feature in qualifying, and the rumour was that the Serbian FA kind of wanted to push the other manager out and get Krstic in because of that omission. That is a strong, robust midfield to have. And obviously you've got the creative players ahead of you in Tadic. United, the Daily Mail had the reports today, United have already tabled a bid for Lazio. They're going to aggressively pursue him. He's a class act from what we've seen in Serie A so far. And he could dominate the midfield there. It could be the difference.
Yeah, could be a fun team. Could be a fun team.
Listen,
in this group.
I've seen a lot of different reports when I've been kind of doing my research on them. Like, say they're not that exciting. Like, look, they're not Brazil. They're definitely not. But they've got enough technically gifted players and enough, how will I put it, strong physical players that they can make it tough for anybody.
Yeah. So there you go. That is our look at Serbia. And we move on now. The final side in this group, it's Switzerland. This is number one on the top40charts.com. Lowe and Leduc, it's called 079.
Nevi, nevi, neshti, nesh, gudung. Nevi, 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 nesh, gudung. This is the top song in Switzerland.
Here's my first thing on Switzerland. Can they take advantage of an opportunity? Because remember how they got here. And I'm sorry to bring up bad memories, but remember when Henri had the handball against Ireland and you thought, oh, well, they're through. They're in the World Cup. What a gift they've been given. And they were so just... so bad in that World Cup, and they were just it was like a team that was like surrounded with controversy, and they were just the worst.
There was bans handed out, like
and you just thought to yourself, like,
they deserved it.
You were given this gift. You're in this World Cup now on this BS moment, and this is what you've done with that. Now, to say that about Switzerland in this case is strong.
It's not that strong,
but it's going a little far. But a
ball hit a Northern Ireland player in the back. And a penalty was given. And that was the only goal scored in 180 minutes in the playoff.
And we don't know, look, you don't know how things might have gone. It could have gone to penalty. Like, you just don't know. But you're right. I mean, they got by Northern Ireland 1-0, and the only goal was a very, very controversial one. So they've been handed this opportunity. They are in the World Cup on that. Will they take advantage of that opportunity?
Now, the other way to look at it is they were pretty faultless in qualifying.
Right.
They won early against Portugal. They were unbeaten in 9 games. They had won 9 games, actually.
They didn't lose until that final game.
Until they went away and they lost out on goal difference. So that makes me think, they're better than they're showing over 180 minutes against Northern Ireland. But the other teams in that group, Andrew, were Hungary, Faroe Islands, Latvia and Andorra. It's not good.
I mean, Hungary put three against Portugal in the European Championships.
No.
Best team I've ever seen.
No. So I don't know where or how I feel about this team. They've got like this dour look to them with a sprinkling of quality. They're like a cupcake and then just a few sprinkles.
Only
dry,
few.
But exciting with the sprinkles.
Okay. Key players. I went with Granit Xhaka.
The North London rival.
Well, here's what I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan.
Don't think he's any good.
No, I really don't.
Right.
I think he can be reckless. I don't know. For his club, for Arsenal, he's just looked so average. Like, I don't think Arsenal ever really got what they thought they were getting. But the reason they thought they were getting something special is because some of what we've seen him do for Switzerland.
Okay.
So he injured his knee in training a few days ago, but they're dodging a bullet, and it's apparently just a bruise. You can think, if you're an Arsenal fan or if you're like myself and you're not, you can think of him what you will, but for Switzerland, I do think he's an important piece of that midfield, and he's performed for them. So, you know, I kind of look to him here to be maybe a little bit of a leader on this side. And it could be a nice – sometimes I wonder, these guys who go off with their clubs and they struggle, getting back to Switzerland, it could be like a reprieve for him.
It's a nice break.
Yeah, like away from Arsenal fans that are kind of like tired of his act a little bit and – you know, he hasn't quite switched on in the Premier League the way a lot of people thought he would when that move was made. So this could feel good for him.
Yeah, I put down Stefan Lichtsteiner, who recently completed his move from Juve to Arsenal. Hugely experienced, solid fullback, could give them something going forward as well, as we saw in the Champions League against Tottenham. And Ricardo Rodriguez of AC Milan, who scored in a friendly the other day, I believe.
Yep.
I'm obviously skirting around the guy who's going to be the X factor, but we'll talk to him
about
him later.
Well, I mean, for them to go on a run, I kind of mentioned some of what you just mentioned and the fullbacks, Lichtsteiner and Rodriguez of AC Milan. By the way, I kind of alluded to this earlier. They are ranked sixth in the world, according to FIFA. Mm. Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. How can a team ranked sixth in the world also have 100-to-1 odds at winning the World Cup?
But don't forget, the rankings also include friendlies, so they may have a heavy friendly schedule against teams, and they've helped build up that record.
Here's the thing.
It's not...
There's a reason on this podcast that we haven't even mentioned the FIFA World Rankings.
And you used
until
to do it
moment.
All the time.
But you're right, and I've learned. We haven't even mentioned them until this moment. All right? How come there can't be... Like, the FIFA World Rankings, to me, right now, are just... They're just irrelevant. Like, yeah. I don't even really look to them anymore as a gauge of anything.
No.
Why can't there be... Don't you think it'd be so much fun, JJ, if we had some kind of committee like what there is in college football and college
I
basketball.
I knew it. My American brain
thinks that, like, the debate over, oh, I can't believe that they think this is over... Like, this formula...
Yeah, you
going
and you
of,
think the college football rankings would help that. Yeah, okay.
No, but here's the thing. Those rankings don't really, like, in college football, they mean something because, like, it depends on whether or not teams go to the playoff. I think this would just be just fun to talk about. Like, this formula that they go off of, it's just, like,
I agree with you.
Kind of yielded us this. Like, Switzerland are just, they're not bad. I don't mean to disparage them, but they're not the sixth best team in the world.
If you're a good team that takes friendlies, that doesn't take friendlies seriously, it affects your ranking, which is nonsense. I mean, they should have some kind of tournament versus qualification weighting or ranking or something like that. I do agree with you. It's very imperfect right now. But yeah. look at you. A star-spangled banner burst forth and you went, I've got to rank something. I just got to put it in a row and be able to tell you what my top 10 are. Why?
That's what you hear when I speak.
No, when you go American brand, that's what I hear, yep.
What could be their undoing? I don't know that they're getting out of this group.
Well, their undoing could be the first game. They could get such an unmerciful beating in the first game that they decide to pack their case.
Scary predictable.
They could pack their cases and leave. Well, you say scary predictable.
Yeah.
It's scary what they're facing. I put down where will the goals come from? Haris Serafovic started up front in the recent friendly versus Spain. Has 11-49 for his country, which is, you know, Shane Long territory. It's not bad, but only 4 this season for his club.
JJ, he didn't score a goal for Benfica after October. That was what I had, too.
Yeah.
I'd be worried.
It's amazing with these teams. You know, we can talk about defense all you want, but you can cobble something together. You can put a negative system together. You can't make up goal scoring. You just can't do it.
Well... Here's the thing. We get now to the X factor, and neither of us have said a name yet. When you talk about Switzerland, like, there's one guy, and neither of us have said that name yet. So I have a feeling that we're talking about the same guy here.
Yep. Dennis Zakaria, 21-year-old from Borussia Mönchengladbach. No. Jerdan Shaqiri.
Correct.
So he's been linked with my Liverpool today. 12 million, which would seem like a steal, but... still not sure about it.
This day and age?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty...
Oh my God, it's cheap as chips.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to be ranked at least 6 million. Look, there's a touch of that... No, I'm not going to say the touch of the Neymars about him, but he's such a talismanic figure. You look at some of the most important goals Switzerland have got over the past few years. He can pull them out with the spectacular.
The goal he scored against Poland
was...
incredible.
Beautiful. And you know what, Andrew? They were very close to causing an upset against Argentina as well. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, and he had a hat trick against Honduras in the last World Cup.
He's a brilliant player. He's an enigmatic player. He is an inconsistent player. He is all those things. I don't know what you're going to get from him. There's a danger with him. He's the kind of guy who looks around the field. And he's right, because you're looking at, for creativity, who are you looking at? You're not really, Xhaka is not that kind of player. Say they start Barami. He's 33. He's got a bit of flair about him, but he's still not that kind of player. They're dull enough. And I feel a guy with the ego of Shaqiri would look at that team and say, I got to put this team on my back. And in doing so, that would be to the detriment of the side. He would take the burden of the attack. And that's my worry for him.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy that I have here, and I essentially agree on all counts. I hadn't seen that about Liverpool being interested in him.
Yeah, that was in, it's the silly season, so.
That's true.
Stoke have been relegated. He's hardly going to stay at Stoke.
No, well, he's already been outspoken about his desire to leave. He's not going down with them. No. Somebody will swoop in, and you think Stoke could probably use the money.
Well, definitely. He's just... He's one of those players. He's going to do something. You just hope he can be reach some kind of level of consistency with them. And honestly, I'm deadly serious when I say that. If he becomes too much of the focal point, he can be nullified by, you know, a fairly basic man marking or even not even that defensive setup by the opposition. And then say he's out of the game. Like, what have they?
Yeah, you're totally right. So that's our look at Switzerland. And we move now, one of my favorite parts of the show, I love this, the blast from the past. We got the wheel out, got the four teams from this group all on the wheel. We'll spin it, and then whoever it lands on, you've selected a memory to go back, a World Cup memory from that club. Ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
We'll spin a roo. And, oh, yes, I was hoping it would land on Brazil, and it has.
And it has, and it's...
So much to choose from.
Well, there's a ton. But I thought I'd go for, well, I don't know. There's still debate that rages over this goal to this very day. It's Ronaldinho versus England, World Cup quarterfinal 2002 in Japan and South Korea.
Ronaldinho takes, and David Seaman's cut off his line, and Brazil take the lead. Ronaldinho has scored. David Seaman is caught cold.
So what is the debate as to whether or not he was trying to do that?
Did he meant it?
That was poor grammar.
Sorry.
But, yeah.
Did he mean it? Not did he meant it. Did he mean it? What do you think?
Maybe I'm being naive, but I am always going to give a player like Ronaldinho the benefit of the doubt. Now, the other debate that I guess you could have over the, well, first off, what do you think?
Oh, I think he meant it because okay. I've analysed it carefully.
All right.
And he just gets his head up at the last minute and he drives through the back of the ball, whips it like in a fashion that he's seen Seaman has just taken that step. But it's a last minute decision. I think had Seaman been a bit closer back, he would have just whipped it into the box. It's a last minute decision. Also, England's defence was outstanding. Outstanding. Is particularly at centre back with Ferdinand and Saul Campbell. He probably thought, I whip this into the box, they're just going to clear it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the great players see things that in a split second that we don't see. So I'm always...
Let me ask you, if you had to classify it, great goal for Ronaldinho or horrible mistake for David Seaman?
See, Seaman had a bit of a history with balls over the top. But I'm going to ignore that great moment for Ronaldinho. Look where he put it.
I loved that World Cup.
You told me that. Yeah. But you even mentioned outside of the great performance of the U.S. men's national team.
Well, look, that, of course, I think had me even more invested. I mean, right out of the gate, the victory against Portugal, it had you so wound up. But just like the fans of South Korea and Japan, too, but really South Korea, it was so gripping. Brazil were Brazil. In this tournament, I don't know. I found myself just like loving that World Cup. Probably my favorite one since I've been alive.
You know what's depressing? It was 16 years ago the other day that Robbie Keane scored the equalizer against Germany.
Did that little somersault.
Yeah. When's the last time Ireland were at the World Cup?
Was that it?
Yeah. Two European championships since. Thin gruel, my friend.
Yeah. I hear you, brother.
So that's it.
That is it for Group E. Well, do you have a prediction? I sure do.
I'm going with Brazil and Serbia.
So am I.
Which is going to annoy Costa Rican fans.
I have them third, and then I have I actually have Switzerland last.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe we're disrespecting Costa Rica.
We're not disrespecting them.
We are.
Well, maybe we are. I don't care too much, to be honest with you.
Oh. Interesting.
No, I think they're a good team. I just think.
Look, I think we made it clear when we went through Serbia that you and I happen to both think pretty highly of them. Not to say that I don't think highly of Costa Rica.
Now, there's enough elements in the Serbian setup that they could implode. Like a inexperienced manager with some pretty strong characters, like, I don't know, Mitrovic, someone like that. Mm-hmm. They could self discombobulate, which is the term. But I don't expect it.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think they're going through. I think they are going through. So there you go. That's Group E as we keep just churning them out. Keep on the lookout for Group F. That will be coming your way. And then just two more next week. Should also say we got a lot going on in addition to this. A special USA podcast. It's a three-part series. Speak to Jeff Carlisle about both what went wrong and what lies ahead. We're going to speak to Bruce Arena. How about that? Sometime later next week. We just felt like we needed to put that chapter to bed. Like, I feel like now that we're here, the World Cup is here, just reaction that I've been seeing from people, from friends, the way that I feel, it's kind of drudged up all those old feelings about the U.S. not qualifying and us not being able to be excited right now in the way that we thought that we would be. And so we just felt like one last time we got to turn the page and we got to get it all out there. And then we can really enjoy the World Cup once we've kind of embraced it. Then you move on.
Is that what we're calling it? Turning the page.
Turn the page. That's right.
Turn the page.
Yep.
That's good. I hope people enjoy it. I hope people don't feel too tortured by the memories that we bring up, but I hope people look at it and look at it.
And that's not really the purpose of it is not to torture people,
no.
But it's just to kind of like think about how we got here and where we're going next.
Yeah, but we're in the weird place where people like will regularly ask us what's the way forward, particularly around those friendly games we had last week. And then other people will say, oh, I can't. They recoil from the thought of it. They're not ready. So.
From even watching them?
Even talking about it, Andrew.
Well, then they're not going to really enjoy that.
They'll enjoy it. We've done a great job.
You did a great job on this as well, my friend. I enjoyed this. Looking forward to, like I said, just two more group previews. We're getting close. We're getting real close. To you, I say...
Take you later, fun boy.
See you later, man.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.